Pearl Church exists to express a sacred story and to extend a common table that animate life by love. A primary expression of our sacred story is the weekly sermon. If our sermons inspire you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully, would you consider supporting our work? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.
Church. I am so honored to be speaking with you again this year. My name is Tim. I use he, him pronouns, and I've been on the oversight team for about 1.5 years. I have loved hearing from Mike, Sherry, Valinda over the past few weeks, and I can't wait to hear from Leah and Ben as they share over the next 2 weeks. It's such a privilege to be able to serve alongside these individuals on Pearl's board. Before I dive in this morning, I'd love to share a bit about my life with you. I've been at Pearl for about 8 years now. When I first came to Pearl, I was in a place where I just needed to attend church and be present without any sort of responsibilities. But after about 8 months, I decided to join a home group. On the first night I attended home group, we were getting to know each other, and our home group leader said, "Honestly, I don't believe in God most days." And my little Midwestern Christian heart began racing. But then I realized, if y'all were willing to let someone who didn't even believe in God most days lead a home group, a gay person leading a home group can't be that bad, right? As many of you know, I'm married to the elementary kids program coordinator here at Pearl. Drew and I have been together for 7 years, and yes, we did meet at Pearl. If you know Drew, I know, whoop whoop. If you know Drew, you know he is funny, exuberant, and so, so kind. I said this last year, and I'll say it again this year, I love that I can say I met my husband at church. Drew and I have 2 children, Fish and Beans. Yes, I know, let's just stay on this slide for a long time. Fish is the cute little pug, and Beans is the handsome orange tabby. They bring us a lot of joy, and I can't talk about myself without mentioning these two. I also have a few interests that I'd like to share with y'all. I really enjoy playing board games and video games. I'm a sucker for a Pokemon game. And I relish in the chance to get nerdy while playing those long, involved, collaborative board games. I'm also vegan, and I love to explore the food scene here in Portland. I enjoy reading fantasy and sci-fi books. I love gardening, dancing ballet, and I also love music. I sing with a group called Boyfriends, and yes, this is a shameless plug for our upcoming concert on September 6th. Yay! I would love to see familiar faces in the audience, so let me know if you want to come. All right, talk to me after. So now that you know a bit about me, let's talk about my heart for Pearl Church. Like some of you here, I found Pearl because I needed an inclusive community where I could work through a faith that had been central to who I am for all of my life, but had also caused me a lot of pain. I'm a queer person who was raised in Ohio, so integrating my sexuality and my faith into the same space has taken a lot of work. Thankfully, this community has given me that space to work through some of these things, from Sunday morning sermons and weekly home group meetings, to LGBTQ+ events and worship team rehearsals. I have been so privileged to get to know many of you and share a bit of life with you. I am honored to be a member of this community where we truly believe that every part of you is welcome. Every part of you is welcome. We say that quite a lot here at Pearl. Every part of you is welcome. I don't know about you all, but I hear that and all I can help is think, wait, really? Every part of me is welcome? That can't actually be true. Church or not, there can't be a space where every single part of who I am as a person is welcome. I mean, there are parts of me that I'm sure you don't want to know about. There are parts of me that would make the ladies in my church growing up throw around a "God bless him" as they pass the news through the prayer chain. It's just gossiping. It's all it is. Every part of me cannot truly be welcome here, right? These thoughts still enter my brain these days, though not quite as often as they once did. It's easy for me to believe that every part of you is welcome here, but that certainly can't apply to me. As I've been writing this sermon, I've been thinking about the ways that evangelical, legalistic Christianity still shows up in my life. Honestly, I still feel guilty when I don't show up at church on a Sunday morning. There are some gospel artists that I still love listening to, even though their theology is likely non-affirming. The phrase, modest is hottest, still rings through my brain, and I feel way more comfortable keeping myself covered. And shame loves to make an appearance in my internal dialogue. You see, I grew up singing songs about how I need God to change me. I was continually told in Sunday school that I am inherently bad. While the Bible was used to control my heart and brain, purity culture was used to control my body. I very quickly learned that I shouldn't trust myself. I remember one of the first times that I really felt ashamed. As is typical in the church, I was taught gender roles from an early age. Boys and girls each had their responsibilities and interests. I was supposed to like toy cars and sports, but I was drawn to Barbie dolls and dress up. So when the opportunity to put some lip gloss on presented itself, I could not resist. I was on the bus on my way home from first grade. The girl sitting in front of me, Jenna, had a keychain on her backpack with a little heart-shaped lip gloss tin attached. It was blue on one side, pink on the other, and it was sparkly. While I thought no one was looking, I took the top off of the little tin, scooped some gloss under my finger. I scooped from the blue side, of course. Couldn't get too wild, yeah. And I put it all over my lips. For a split second, I felt fabulous. But then the wrongness of what I did hit me. When my stop finally came, I ran to my house, holding my tears in, and I headed straight for the bathroom to wash the gloss off of my lips. When I came out of the bathroom and my mom asked how my day was, the tears immediately started flowing. I was so ashamed and embarrassed by my actions. I was just a six-year-old kid who wanted to experience shimmery lips, but the world around me told me that this meant something was wrong with me. Shame told me that my interests were illicit and that the God of the Bible was disappointed in me. As you might imagine, the narrative of shame has been a loud voice in my life for many years. Here are some examples of how shame still speaks into my life today. It's difficult for me to relax without completing some sort of task first. My brain says that rest is something that is earned, and by not doing anything to tidy up the house first, I don't deserve rest. Just last weekend, I lended a friend a canopy for an event they were attending. To be clear, I didn't charge my friend to borrow this canopy or ask for anything in return. As I handed off the canopy, all I could think about was their disappointment if the canopy didn't fit their needs. It wouldn't be big enough or tall enough or the right color. Somehow, I had convinced myself that the design of this canopy was directly attached to me and my worth. As I'm writing this, I'm aware that the example I just gave began with the phrase, just last weekend, which indicates to you all that yes, I was working on writing this sermon still this past week. I should have been better prepared than that. And let's not forget lustful thoughts. Just because I'm gay doesn't mean that the purity culture I was raised in no longer has a voice in my life. It very much does. The voice of shame is quite persistent. Before I continue, though, let me assure you that I have been in counseling for years now. But the reality is, I thought this voice of shame was the voice of God speaking into my life, trying to make me a better person. And that sort of relationship dynamic with the divine isn't undone in a few years of counseling, though there has definitely been progress. The thing is, I don't think I'm alone here. I really wish I was the only one that could relate to the power of shame, but sadly, I don't think I am. Attending a church like Pearl doesn't immediately remove the power of shame from your life. It takes a lot of personal work and investment in yourself to quiet this voice and know that you are good. And I don't mean other people are good. I mean you are good. I am good. Every part of you is welcome. Every part of me is welcome. Even the parts that shame loves to grab a hold of and hang over our heads, those parts of you belong here too. To help prepare for my talk today, I've been listening to a song called I Am Good by Alana Sabatini. Alana has taken a handful of hymns and rewritten them with affirming lyrics. I Am Good is set to the tune of It Is Well With My Soul. Her lyrics so perfectly capture the heart of what we hope to communicate at Pearl, but also what we believe the divine speaks over us. Here are some of those lyrics. I look back in time to the person I once was, policing each feeling and thought. If I could go back, I would tell my sweet self that I am good as I am. Such joy and relief in this glorious thought that there's nothing wrong with me. I don't have to hide any part of myself. I am good as I am. My mind's not the enemy. My flesh is not a cage. My body is precious and wise. I'm a field full of flowers. I'm a sky full of stars. I am good as I am. Now, let me tell you how a community at Pearl has helped remind me of my goodness and helped quiet the voice of shame. During the height of COVID, Drew and I watched a show every week with Heather and Leah. When bubbles were small and seeing people in person was rare, we had community because of the people at Pearl. And when Heather and Leah had Carson, we had the privilege of being asked to be her godfathers, aka Gagas. It healed something within me to know that someone would trust me with such an honor. I also had the privilege of living with Kylie and Rachel for a time. I got to see their love for each other in day-to-day life and experience their generosity and kindness firsthand. This year marks 3 years of taking an annual trip with Tyler and Connor. Look at my middle part. Oh my gosh. Wild. I don't appreciate how some of the laughs are like, oh boy, like, yeah. All right, not only do I get to experience life here in Portland with my Pearl community, but I get to experience the world with them. Making music with Wendy and Brian has helped me reclaim my love for worship music with a non-shame approach. And yes, this is a picture of Brian's face photoshopped on Drew's body. Somehow the three of us don't have a picture together. So, shout out to Wendy for making that happen. Wendy, Brian, and I get to sing of the goodness of the divine while reminding ourselves of our goodness as well. Numerous evenings have been spent hanging out with a wonderful gaggle of gays from Pearl. Many of those nights, I would look around, knowing that I met these guys at church, and I'd be so thankful to now be able to witness them screaming at the drag queens being messy on TV. And each time I hug my husband, I'm reminded of this beautiful community and how grateful I am to be here. Drew is a continual source of encouragement and love that I often don't feel like I deserve. Here's a few more, just Pearl pictures, COVID. Backyard dinners with Debbie and Jay, Dungeons and Dragons night with Jeremy, Maddie, Josh, and Jason, post-church conversations with Haley, Becca, and Joy, vacation recaps with John and Rosalind, wine on the lake with David and John, home group outside, LGBTQ+ game nights. I could go on and on, but these are just a handful of ways that I've been healed by this community. Each conversation I have with someone at Pearl and each new person I meet communicates in its own way that I am good and that every part of me is welcome. And this is my heart for you all. If you've been here a while, I hope you found belonging and friendship at Pearl. I hope you extend that warmth of welcoming to all people who walk into our church. If you're new, I hope the people at Pearl introduce themselves to you and make this community feel like home. Not because we have any expectation of you becoming someone you're not, but because you are welcome just as you all are. All of you deserve community and spaces where you are loved, accepted, and celebrated. Pearl is not a perfect church, nor will it ever be. We have and will make mistakes, but I hope that we continue to learn, grow, and challenge ourselves to love more and to not remain complacent. Before I wrap up, I want to make a special acknowledgement to the queer folks here. While Pride Month ends this week, at Pearl Church, we celebrate Pride all year around. However you identify, this is a safe space for you. Not just to attend, but to be involved in whatever capacity you're comfortable with. No bigoted administration gets to take that away from us. You will always have a place here. Pearl Church, every part of you is welcome. In a moment, we'll take some time to reflect, and I invite you to use this opportunity to speak goodness over yourself. You are loved, you are appreciated, and you are embraced by the divine and by the community around you. Let's pray. God, fill us with conviction that we are indeed so good. Allow us to feel that same conviction for our family, our neighbors, our friends, and our Pearl community.
We hope that this sermon inspired you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully. If you don't already support our work, will you begin today? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.